Good morning and welcome everyone to the July Spiritual Outreach Call. Today's feature is Father Ian Jeremiah. Father Jeremiah was ordained a priest in the Diocese of Bridgeport in 2008 and has been a chaplain in the Association since 2014. He is currently a magistral chaplain and serves as pastor of St. Michael's the Archangel Parish in Greenwich, Connecticut. He had a seminary training in Mount St. Mary's Seminary, Emmitsburg, Maryland. And Father Ian also is the director of the spiritual program for our children in our Lourdes pilgrimage. We welcome you this morning, Father, and we thank you so much for being with us.
Well, it is 11 o'clock in Connecticut, so I'm going to say good morning to everyone. It's such a privilege to be able to be with you here in this time of, you consider it, prayer. But especially being in a community together, because that's how God created us, to help one another to get to heaven. And so I pray some of my recollection here will help you in your journey. But I also want to say I thank you because of you listening in, I am able to fulfill my ministry, and therefore you are helping me also get to heaven. So I'm going to begin with the prayer to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy his consolations through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So since we began with the prayer to the Holy Spirit, let's just take a moment, recollecting ourselves, put away all our worries, our anxieties. So I want to just say, take a deep breath and breathe in the Holy Spirit. Then exhale all your anxieties. So again, good morning, and the topic that I was given is, why is daily prayer important in our lives, and what are some of the recommendations for an individual prayer life? Well, let's see if I can answer that in this talk. I'll begin with a story. You may be familiar with it, but this is the story of St. Thérèse of Lisieux, when she was just 14 years old, before she entered the convent. She, her sister Celine, the story goes, heard about a notorious criminal, a murderer who was going to be executed. His case was all over the newspapers at the time because he had led a lifetime of horrendous crime, and he was vocally defiant, unrepentant, and that's why he was splashed in the front pages. As his execution date approached, Thérèse and Celine began to pray insistently for his repentance. They prayed rosaries, they prayed novenas, they offered up masses. But up until the last day, this criminal refused to see a priest. But Thérèse and Celine kept praying. And not only did they pray for his repentance, but they boldly asked God to give them some kind of sign that this man had repented. But finally, the day of execution arrived, and even as this man was being marched out of his prison cell to the guillotine, he refused to speak to a priest. They were strapping him onto the plank, preparing the blade for his execution. And suddenly, with his neck already inside the guillotine, there was a wild look on his eyes, and he blurted out, "A cross! A cross!" There was a priest who was standing right there. The priest reached over, held up his crucifix to the criminal's face. The condemned man kissed the crucifix three times, to the utter shock of the crowd who was all standing there spellbound by what they were seeing. And then the condemned man calmly laid down his head. the prayers of Therese were answered at the very last moment. And that's the story. How many of us have ever had such an experience when we pray? I don't know about you, but generally speaking, many of us do not enjoy praying, as how we understand praying to be. We experience what? Boredom from our prayers. Sometimes we are embarrassed by what we are telling God. Sometimes we are even unwilling to go to God to tell him this thing. Or sometimes we face great hostility. Everything else appears to be more important, more attractive than prayer. And we persuade ourselves sometimes, I don't have the time. There are other more urgent things that I need to attend to. But strangely, more than often, when we've given up prayer, what do? We apply ourselves to trivial tasks. But you and I know, because through the example of Jesus Christ himself in the Gospels, prayer is essential. He, no matter how time-consuming his work was, healing, curing the sick, exercising, he always, we hear, went off by himself to pray. So therefore, following the example of Jesus Christ, we, all of us, you and I, we need to be stern, strict with ourselves. For without prayer, our faith becomes weak. Our spiritual life, a trophy. Just like our muscles, if we don't use it, or our memory, if we don't, it's trophies. We cannot, in the long run, remain a Christian without praying. Just as we cannot live without reading. In fact, I would argue it is more necessary to remember God than to breathe. Why do I say that? Well, think about it. Logic says one day we're all going to die, right? One day we're all going to stop breathing. But when that happens, will we be remembering God? Our calling God to mind is that which will carry us to God, not our breath. And so, it is more important to remember God than to breathe. And so I would say, if you always have the desire in your heart for God, you are praying. That desire is key. It must be there. It must be the foundation of your prayer. Not prayer first and then I love. No. I must love first. I must have this desire for God. And then that draws me to prayer. That motivates me to prayer. That leads me to prayer. Prayer is lifting up the mind to God. And so we must be mindful of the God we are addressing in prayer. We must be mindful of the God we are addressing in prayer. Saint Therese of Avila, you know, the church's great spiritual master, said this, and I quote, prayer is a matter of coming into living contact with Jesus Christ. It is not just reciting or repeating words. Simply going through motions does not deserve the noble title of prayer. It won't lead to union of our souls with Jesus Christ. Unquote. Therese of Avila said that. He would say that it was only through her living contact with Jesus Christ that she began to love him. She says that before she started praying with sincerity, with devotion, she would typically be praying or enter into a prayer time looking at when it would end. She would be waiting, listening for the clock to strike. And then she'd know, okay, I'm done with prayer. Now, I do not know about you, but when I hear that about St. Therese of Avila, it's quite reassuring to me because I find prayer very challenging because my attention span is challenged when I try to pray. But St. Therese of Avila would say that she spent more than 18 years struggling with prayer. pull between conversing with God and then getting caught up in the activities of the world. For over 18 years, she struggled with that. But eventually, she recognized she needed to focus on whom she was praying. She would say, we need to focus on whom we are praying to with our mind, not just our mouth. Our mind. We must cultivate the practice of recollection. So I'm going to go on a little tangent right now. You know, every mass you go to, we have what we call the opening prayer, right? Where the priest will say, let us pray. Well, it used to be called oratio. Now, in today's missals, it is called collecta. It was called previously opening prayer, but now it is actually officially called collect. Why is the church saying this prayer should be called collect? Because in that prayer, what is the priest doing? The priest is collecting the petitions of everybody in that church at that moment. And that is why the priest, actually there's instructions right there in red, tells him, after you say, let us pray, the priest should pause to collect everybody's petition. And then he takes it and joins it in the official prayer of the church. Collect. Recollection. It is so key. That moment of pause before you actually enter into your prayer. It is so key. And I think, well, for me, that is beginning to help me a lot in my prayer. Because my tendency is, right, make a sign of the cross and boom, I'm in prayer. I'm either praying the rosary or I'm praying my liturgy of the hours or I'm asking for things or I'm telling God I'm sorry. But St. Therese of Avila says we are missing a point if we don't first recollect who it is that I am speaking to. In fact, St. Therese of Avila, when you read her book, The Interior Castle, she says, we must collect our thoughts before praying. And she says this, and I quote, if a person does not think of whom he's addressing, what he's asking for, who it is that's asking, of whom he's asking it, I do not consider that he's praying at all, even though he be constantly moving his lips. Unquote. So St. Therese is saying, we actually need to do four things before we actually launch into prayer. Who are we addressing? What am I asking? Who is it that's asking? Of whom am I asking? Right? Now I'm going to use a gospel passage. Luke chapter 11, verses 5 to 13. Perhaps give you an insight into how we can put this rule of St. Therese of Avila into practice. So, Luke chapter 11, 5 to 13. I'm going to read the passage pretty fast because you can always look it up by yourself. He was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us. And do not subject us to the final test. And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. For a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey and I have nothing to offer him. And he says in reply from within, do not bother me. The door has already been locked and my children and I are already in bed and I cannot get up to give you anything. I tell you, if he does not get up to give him the loaves because of his friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence. And I tell you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock. The door will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. The one who knocks, door will be open. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asked for a fish? Or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg. If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. That's the gospel passage. We all know it so well. So now I'm going to try to apply St. Therese of Avila's four steps of recollection to this passage. So the first thing she says, who are we addressing? Well, the first word of this prayer of Jesus tells us it's God. Jesus says, Father. Well, actually, Jesus said in Aramaic, Abba. That is who we are addressing. And so before we launch into prayer, we should think, who am I praying to? God? Well, Father. No, Abba. And what does Abba mean? Abba means I have this incredible close child to Father relationship going on. And who is this Abba? He is God Almighty, all merciful, all giving. He is attentive to my needs because he is my Abba. He is forgiving. That is who I am addressing right now in my prayer. Okay? Father, Abba. Second part of St. Therese Avila. Who is it that is asking? Well, that's me, right? But because I've called God Abba, who does that make me? I'm his child. I'm his favorite child. I am the child that he is now giving his attention to completely, totally. I am that child of God in his presence right now. And therefore, I should have a childlike trust, simplicity. That is how we should be entering into this prayer. Who am I addressing? Abba. Who is it that's asking? Me, his favorite child. And I should have that trust now in him, even before I begin my actual prayer. Then comes the next part, St. Therese of Avila. What am I asking for? Well, I think, if we are honest to ourselves, if we are truly recollected who God is, all-knowing, all-powerful, it becomes quite clear to us, what should I be asking that is more important? We look at Luke chapter 11, verse 2. It says that Jesus tells us, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. So what should we really be asking God? God, that my own life may reflect your holiness, that I be as perfect as you, that your kingdom, God, should rule my life, not Satan's kingdom. That is what we should be asking once we realize who Abba is and who we are. And then when I am done asking for what is truly important, then only do I ask for what I need, or I think I need. And that is in verses 11, 3 to 4, where it says, give me my daily bread. Forgive me as I forgive others. So I'm asking God now, give me my basic needs, what I need for today, so that I can respond in love. And then remind me, Lord, to forgive others today. In fact, this gospel passage of the Our Father says, forgive everyone. And then let me be spared from the great tribulation. Protect me from the evil one. Give me the strength to bear trials, to resist temptations. This is what that prayer Jesus is teaching us says. This is what I am asking, or should be. And then the last part of St. Therese of Avila, of whom am I asking? Well, this gospel passage, verse 5. Notice when Jesus says, the friend who comes in the middle of the night, and he asks for what? Loaves. But very specifically, he asks 3 loaves. He asks for 3 loaves. All right? And church fathers have commented on that, including St. Thomas Aquinas. And what do they say the 3 loaves are? Well, the bread of angels, the bread of understanding, the bread of life. What is the bread of angels? The Eucharist. What is the bread of understanding? To comprehend things that lead to faith. And who is the bread of life? Jesus Christ himself, to be fully united with him. So that's of whom am I asking? Always through Christ our Lord. So that is the 4 things I want to offer to you to try to make your prayer more fruitful. So before you actually begin or enter into your formal prayer, prepare yourself, recollect yourself by answering those 4 questions of Saint Therese of Avila. Of whom am I addressing? What am I asking? Who is it that is asking? And of whom, through whom, am I asking? But if you continue on reading that gospel passage, verses 5 to 10, you will see Jesus continues to teach more about prayer. He says, he's not only teaching us what to say, but how to say it, because he goes on to give the parable, be insistent, be persistent. And then he has that threefold progression of words, ask, seek, knock. Well, more specifically, it's a continuous verb, asking, seeking, knocking. It highlights perseverance. Jesus is telling us, when we pray, we must be insistent. We must persevere. We must be this child that continues nagging, but because we believe, Abba listens. And then finally, in that gospel passage, verses 9 to 13, Jesus is telling us the objective, the goal of prayer, what prayer truly is all about. Prayer's objective, it does not envision our obtaining from God what we think we need. We don't go to God so that he gives us what we need. No, we go to God in prayer, whether we are asking, saying we're sorry, praising him, or just adoring him, we go to him because we want to be united with God, whom we always need. He is our ultimate need. So prayer, when we have that unity with God, it makes a difference. It gives us hope. It sustains us. Our relationship with God, the goal of prayer, is what gives us hope that will take us through every storm in life. When we turn our thoughts to God, we feel a new strength in our soul, our entire being. So insistence, persistence is important. Now you might say, but Father, you said initially we were talking about distractions in prayer. Well, let me tell you a quick story. In Philip Mary. In Philip Mary was like Padre Pio. He can read souls, right? He can tell penitents your sins before you confess them, right? Or if you've left it out of confession. He had that gift. Well, as the story goes, one day, Philip Mary was in his oratory. It's like a chapel, all right? He was up in the choir loft, okay? The second floor, praying. The chapel was empty, okay? Suddenly, a seminarian enters in the main body of the church, so in the ground floor, okay? That seminarian comes in. He wants to do his daily holy hour before the Blessed Sacrament. The seminarian comes in. He doesn't look up in the choir loft, and so he sees the chapel all empty. He thinks he's alone. And he goes to the front, kneels down, begins to pray, all right? But his mind begins to wonder. He starts worrying. Oh, gosh, I have this exam tomorrow, and I haven't finished studying for it. He's distracted. But after a while, he realizes, oh, my goodness, I'm not praying. I'm just thinking about this worry of mine. He brings himself back to prayer, and he starts to pray to God again. Okay? But no sooner does he do that, but then, boom, he starts to agonize over what? A misunderstanding he had with someone else, another seminarian. All right? He feels guilty because he got upset with this other person. But then after a while, he was thinking, wait a minute, no, I'm justified. That person deserved, me being upset with him. And then all of a sudden, he realized, oh, wait a minute, my mind has wandered again. Then he forces his attention back to God. And this goes on, back and forth, back and forth. Being distracted, giving attention to God. Being distracted, giving attention to God. It goes on the entire hour. Finally, the seminarian looks at his watch and he says, oh, my hour is up. I have to go because I have chores to do. I have to prepare for that exam. I have to go. But he is so disappointed with himself because he thinks he's wasted the whole hour. Out of 1 hour, he thinks, oh, gosh, maybe I was thinking about God maybe 5 minutes. That's all. All right, he feels he's wasted his time, and he gets up to leave. All this while, however, Philip Mary is up in the choir loft, and he can read souls, so he can tell the struggle of the soul of the seminarian. And as that seminarian slowly was trudging out, Philip Neri stands up in a choir loft, and he starts applauding, clapping for that seminarian. Of course, the seminarian was startled, but he goes up to meet with this Philip Neri, and Philip Neri tells him, "I applauded you because I'm proud of you, because you did not give up prayer. Every time you realized your mind was wandering, you brought it back to God. Your prayer time was persistent. Because really, God already knew what you were going to ask for. God already knew what you were going to say. But you did not give up. After your first distraction, you're going to say, all right, looks like my whole hour is going to be wasted. Let me just leave and go. No, no, you stayed. You were persistent. Prayer is about not what we can get out of God. Prayer is about who we become. Abraham Lincoln would say this, without divine assistance, I cannot succeed. With it, I cannot fail. When we do pray, we have God's supernatural strength. But when we do not pray, all we have is our natural strength. And so, I think I'm almost up to like 30 minutes. So I just want to end by saying this. Remember those four steps of Saint Therese, who tells us to recollect ourselves before we actually pray. Whom am I addressing? What am I asking? Who is it that is asking? Of whom am I asking it? And then go and read that gospel passage, Luke chapter 11, verses 5 to 13. Think about it. In fact, why don't you, over the next few days, ponder on the Our Father, that prayer that Jesus taught us in that gospel passage. Think about it. Go through it, contemplate each of its phrases. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And then contemplate each of the petitions. Give us this day daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Lead us not into temptation. Think, contemplate, ponder on each of those phrases and petitions. And then apply it to your own personal life. Use that prayer that Jesus taught you to accompany your own prayer. If you do it that way, Jesus' prayer that he taught us, then we can become aware that we are with him. What we're asking him, his willingness to give to us what we're asking, and how eagerly he remains with us. In fact, you'll find that if you do the Our Father that way, it can take you anywhere up to half an hour just to go through the Our Father. And incidentally, in this year of St. Joseph, that is exactly how you can gain a plenary indulgence. Of course, go to communion and confession too, and pray for the Pope. But it is a great method. So, my time is up, and that is all I can offer you. I probably have 6-7 more pages to go, but as you know, it's better to over-prepare. And I hope you will ponder a little bit about what I said. Take it to prayer. Most importantly, take what I said here to prayer and ask God, Lord, what is it that I've heard that you can help me with to have a better prayer life, grow ever closer to you, to pray daily, to develop this relationship, God, with you? Because ultimately, hey, eternal life is going to be all about you and God. So we need to start preparing to enter into that relationship today. And so let us say that prayer, the Our Father, and I'm going to use, as I said, the one from Luke chapter 11. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us. And do not subject us to the final test. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you all for listening. Thank you. for being there for me to speak to.
Thank you, Father Ian. What an astounding, beautiful message and words of encouragement from the beginning with the breath to bring us to the awareness of the Holy Spirit and our that breath is a link to God was wonderful. Thank you so much. As a reminder to everyone, you can access his talk again on the web as well as the rest of the talks that we've had throughout the year. God's abundant blessings to everyone on the call, and I wish you a great week. Thank you.